Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Look if you would, starting at verse 1. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Again, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. And I just pray you bless it tonight, Lord. Apply it to our hearts. Help us to learn from it. And Lord, help us to take it home with us tonight, Lord. And just use it in our lives. Help us to learn from your word, Lord, but to be doers and not just hearers only. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, tonight we continue in our series in the book of Jonah. And like I told you before, I'm not teaching a verse-by-verse thing in Jonah like I would normally do. But really, I just want to teach basically the four parts of this story, or the four parts of Jonah's life that's in this story that is seen. And we know the story. Jonah was told to go and preach to the Ninevites and warn them of the judgment of God that was going to come upon them if they did not change their ways. But as we all know, when Jonah was told to go preach to the Ninevites by God, rather than going there and preaching to them, he actually ran from God and he went in the opposite direction. And that resulted in Jonah facing a big storm, being swallowed by a whale, all because Jonah ran from God. And we saw the importance of us not running from God, amen? Because when you run from God, nothing good's going to come of it. When a child of God runs from God, there's going to be storms in life. And so, I think about, sometimes the Lord puts things in my head. You know, I was thinking about when I was real little. I never will forget, I'd done something that was wrong. To this day, I don't remember what it was, but I did something that was wrong. And my dad came down to correct me. We were down in the basement. And I took off running. And, like any kid would, I took off running. And my dad actually chased me around, but I was pretty quick. And I was jumping behind boxes, and I was behind this, behind that, and grab hold of a pole and everything else. Well, my dad, he just decided he wasn't going to chase me. So he sat down and started laughing. And he was looking at me, and he was laughing because I was running. Or so I thought he was laughing. And when he started laughing, I started laughing too. And the whole time he's laughing, I'm laughing. He's moving closer to me, and I don't see it. And then pretty soon I see an arm grab me, and he wasn't laughing anymore. He got me. He lured me in with a laugh. But he got me thinking, I probably shouldn't have ran from him. Amen? You run from God, nothing good's going to come of that. And certainly Jonah learned that right quick. He ran from God, and when he did, he faced a storm in life. He faced a storm, he was swallowed by a whale. And I'm going to tell you, if you run from God as a Christian, you're going to face storms too, because the Lord isn't going to let you run and do anything you want to do as a child of his. He's going to chasten you. Okay? And so Jonah learned that. But then, once he was in the belly of the whale, he instead chose to run back to God. In other words, he called upon the very one who put him in the whale. And he prayed to him, just like the prodigal did. He figured out, hey, I need to get back where I need to be. And so the whale spewed Jonah out on the banks of the seashore, and now Jonah was ready to run for God. See, he ran from God, first off, and then he ran to God. And now that he's out, he's going to run for God. So in chapter 1, that's what we see, and then chapter 2, we see it. And then here in chapter 3, I want you to see beginning the message that Jonah had. Now look, if you would, at verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, the will of God had been clearly revealed to Jonah back in the first chapter, and Jonah knew all along what God wanted him to do. You know, why is it that God always has such a hard time getting us to do his will sometimes? I mean, he told him what to do, and Jonah decided he wasn't going to do it. And we say, well, boy, I can't believe Jonah would do that. We all do that. We all, you know, we know what the Lord wants us to do, but we don't always do what the Lord wants us to do. For instance, I'll give you an example. In Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many times do we allow ourselves to be conformed to the world? How many times do we allow ourselves to start doing worldly things? But God's will for us is not to have any part of that world. God's will for us is not to be conformed to the world. But God has such a hard time trying to get us to do what's best for us. Do you realize if you did everything that God wants you to do, that's the best, most healthiest life that you would ever live? But yet we want to do it our way, and that's when we get ourselves in trouble. It says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. In other words, Jonah had blown it the first time, and yet God came to him a second time. You know, and sometimes people mistakenly think that if you blow it and you disobey God, that it's all over and there's no hope for you whatsoever. But just like we saw this morning, God is a God of second chances. Now think about this, folks. He said, at the very beginning of chapter 1, he told him exactly what to do. He said, go, get up, go and preach to Nineveh. And Jonah says, nope, not going to do it. Goes in a different direction. Faces a storm. Gets swallowed by the whale. He gets spewed out on the shore of the whale. And then God says, now, get up, go preach, and go to Nineveh and preach to them. He told him a second time. And you know, God is a God he's a God who gives other opportunities. People who have blown it one time, the Lord will give you another chance. If you messed up before, the Lord will give you another chance. I mean, think about this. I think about Peter. Here Peter was, you know, Peter was kind of the bragging disciple. He was talking about how he would never leave the Lord's side and everything. But then again, he was the one who denied the Lord three times. Now, we're never told if any other disciple ever denied the Lord, but certainly we're told that Peter did. And so, you know, if Peter thought like a lot of Christians today, he'd say, well, I denied the Lord, so it's all over. But it wasn't all over. Even after Peter denied the Lord, when Jesus was resurrected, here's what he said. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He specifically called out Peter. Go tell him I've arisen from the dead. He gives people a second chance. In fact, it was Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost, and hundreds and thousands of people got saved. I think about King David and what he did. Yet he was given another chance. Or Elijah. Remember Elijah? I mean, you think about this. He goes up there and he calls down fire from God. And when he has the competition between God and Baal and all the Baal worshipers, and he sees the very fire of God come down and devour all those things on the altar. And then all of a sudden Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And he runs up there and said, Lord, why don't you just go ahead and kill me now? And he's up there and he's lost all of his faith. And he's up there all alone in a cave. You know what the Lord did? He spoke to him in a still small voice, and he gave him another chance. You serve a God to give second chances, folks. Just because you mess up from time to time doesn't mean the Lord's done with you. The Lord will give you another chance. And I tell you this, I'm glad that the Lord gives us a second chance. I'm glad of that. We know that when you're talking about the world doesn't give too many second chances. I mean, you mess up in the world, and the world's pretty much done with you. I mean, if you're in the business world and you mess up, chances are you're not going to get a second opportunity. If you end up stealing from your company or you do something that's really crazy, chances are they're going to fire you and they're never going to hire you back again. But not the Lord. We deal with a God of grace, the God of second chance. And so the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and notice he said this. He said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, I'll tell you something. You need to underline that right there. He said, listen, when you go preach, I want you to preach what I bid thee. In other words, he's saying, Jonah, don't go there and preach your own opinions. Jonah, don't go there and preach your own convictions. You preach what I bid you. May I tell you, that's what all preachers are supposed to preach, what the Lord bids them. Amen? When a preacher preaches, he's supposed to preach out the Bible. He's supposed to preach God's word. That's what God bids us to do. That's his words. And so he tells him there, he goes, go preach unto them the word of God, what I bid you. And so he's ready to do the will of God now, and he makes haste to do the will of God. I mean, here he was, he'd just been spewed out on the shore, he'd just been in the belly of a whale, and now when he gets out on that shore, he knows he's done wrong, he's seen the chastening of the Lord, and now he says, you know what, I want to serve the Lord, and I want to serve him with everything I have. And so he makes haste. Now I'll show you how much haste he makes. Look at verse 3. It says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now look at verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So it's 3 days there, but it didn't take Jonah 3 days to get there. It took him one. He had moved pretty fast. You know, why was he moving fast? Because he had already experienced the chastening of the Lord. He didn't want that anymore. Amen? So, obviously, he didn't walk to Nineveh. He runs. He didn't procrastinate like a lot of Christians do. He doesn't waste time like many Christians do. He knows the will of God, and he hurries to do it. And then he begins to preach in verse 4, and the message is a very, very blunt message. Look at verse 4. He says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's a message of judgment. It's a message of wrath. But there is an opportunity for the people of Nineveh to respond in the message that would leave that would end up with God giving them mercy. Because you say, well, where's it at in the message? Where do you see the possibility or the opportunity to do the right thing in that message? In the word that says, in 40 days. Now, the thing about it is if God were just going to destroy them, there's nothing they could do about it. He would have just destroyed the city. Amen? I mean, what's he going to do? Listen, I'm going to crush you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Did God ever say that? No. He says, in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. And what he's doing, when he said the 40 days, he's giving them an opportunity to change. He's giving them an opportunity to turn around. Yet 40 days, he's giving them 40 days to change their ways. Now, he gave a warning there. You know, there are other places in the Bible where the warning was given too, where people had time to turn around and do the right thing. One was here. I mean, the Lord sent Jonah there, and Jonah says, now listen, in 40 days, the judgment's coming. You remember Noah? Noah preached for 120 years. You know what he preached for 120 years? The flood's coming. The flood's coming. And there he is. He's building the ark. The flood's coming for 120 years. Those people saw him building an ark. They saw the boat ship for you Navy people. They saw the boat there, and he's building it, and he says the judgment of God is coming. Listen, don't you think that once you saw the boat completed, that you better start thinking about doing the right thing and getting on the boat, amen? But they didn't. Now, that's not the way it turned out here. These people here didn't do what the people back in Genesis 6 did. But there was an opportunity. And I wonder tonight, if God says, I'm going to let someone in this church just be here one more time tonight. Just one more time. I'm going to let one of you in here tonight, the Lord just let you come in here one more time just to hear the gospel one more time. Now here's the kicker. These people here in Nineveh, they knew they had 40 years. The people back there in Genesis 6, when they could see that ark being built, they could kind of tell how much time they had by how fast that ark was being put together. But today, you don't have that luxury. Today, you don't know how long you have. Today, you're here, and you have a preacher standing in front of you saying, the judgment of God is coming upon anybody that's not saved. The Bible says that God's wrath is upon the unrighteous. Now listen, if you're not saved here tonight, the judgment of God's coming. It's coming. And unlike these people, you don't know how long you have before you die and face the judgment of God. And so maybe tonight, if you're not saved, maybe the Lord has brought you here tonight just so you could hear the message one more time. Just like he allowed the Ninevites to hear the message from Jonah. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the preaching that Nineveh hears from Jonah. That's Jonah's message. But now I want you to look at Nineveh's response. Look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So Jonah preaches the message of coming judgment and the people believed God. Now that has always been the key to salvation from the start of that Bible all the way through. You know what it is? Believing God. That's been the ticket. All the way through your Bible, the thing that saved people was believing God. How do we know that? Well, if you go right back there to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? Now, if they had believed God rather than the serpent, they would have never eaten of that tree. And they would have never died spiritually. If they had only believed God. Again, how about Noah? In Genesis 6, he preached for 120 years. He said the judgment of God's coming. If those people had believed God, they would have all tried to get on the boat. But they didn't believe God. Only those who believed God got on the ark. Amen? So it's all about believing God. You know what? When the promise was made to Abraham, it says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's always about believing God. How did you get saved? Somebody told you the gospel. And he said that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And you know what you did to be saved? You believed it. That's how you got saved. You said, I believe. And today, if I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? If you're saved here, you say, amen, I sure do. Well, listen, that's the reason that you're saved is because you believed God. It's always been that way. It'll always be that way. Do you believe God or not? In fact, Romans 4:3 says, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted on him for righteousness. John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Salvation has always come from believing God, because believing God is trusting in the Lord. And we're told this truth in this fifth verse that the Ninevites believed God. They responded to the preaching of judgment by believing God. And all of a sudden, revival breaks out. If you look there at verse 6 through 9, it says, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from the throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? These people, they hear the message and they believe God. The king of Nineveh, he responds by removing his royal robes. He puts on a burlap sack and covers himself with ashes, which is a symbol of sorrow and mourning. The people, they do the same thing. All of a sudden, they turn from their wicked ways they repented and even went down to the animals. They even said, listen, the animals themselves, they dressed them in sackcloth too and wouldn't let them eat. You know, revival affects everything. If you have a revival in your heart tonight as a Christian, it's going to affect everybody around you. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your wife. It's going to affect your kids. It's going to affect your friends. Why? Because you have a change of heart. You have a change of heart, and people are going to notice that. And I'll tell you something, folks. It'll affect your children, your neighbors. It'll even affect your dogs and cats. You say, how's that? You're just going to be a different person. Amen? Everybody, you know, it affects everybody for the better. When you come to the Lord and when you know the Lord, if you're a Christian and you get right with the Lord, it affects everybody. Now look at verse 9. It says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil. And he said, and that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. That's an amazing statement right there. He repented of the evil he said he would do, and he did it not. God repented. You say, well, what does it mean that God repented? He changed direction. He had a change of mind and heart over a matter, and he changed direction. He was going to judge them and destroy the city in 40 days, but because they believed God and because they went from being wicked in their ways to humbling themselves before God, God decided not to destroy the city. In other words, he was going to, but because of something that they did, then God changed his course. In other words, because they changed their course, God changed his course. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us that God never changes. Amen? I mean, that's what he tells us. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, people change. People change a lot. I mean, how many of you know somebody that you knew years ago, but they've changed a lot since then? You know, I mean, they don't even hardly resemble the person that they once were. People change all the time. In fact, day to day, sometimes you don't know how people are going to be. Today they're one way, tomorrow they may change. Circumstances will change the way they think. You know, they change all the time. And sometimes people change like the weather. But God does not change. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't change? You know what, I tell you, one of the greatest things about God is this. The same God you saw back there in the Old Testament is the same God today. The things that he hated back then, he hates today. The things he loved back then, he loves today. God hasn't changed in that sense. He's still perfectly holy. He doesn't change with the times. In other words, as people start to think different, God doesn't change along with them. When people start to think that which is right is wrong, God still says, no, what's wrong is still wrong. And when people start to think what is wrong is right, God says, no, wait a second. It's the same as it's always been. That's the one thing that we can always rest upon, is we are built on a foundation, and that foundation does not change. Amen. And we can count on it. And if God said it was a sin 1,000 years ago, it's still a sin today. It hasn't changed at all. But I will tell you this, that God will change his course based on the course that we change. Now, everybody in this room can attest to that, and I'll tell you how. At one time, everybody in this room was unsaved and on your way to hell. Amen? Now, I hope that nobody in here tonight is on their way to hell. I hope not. But if you're saved, at one time you're on your way to hell. And the Bible says that you were condemned already. Amen? Now, the only thing that had to happen was for you to die, and it was over, and you'd be in hell forever. But God gave you an opportunity. He gave you good news. He gave you the gospel. And if you're saved here tonight, you believe that gospel. And the moment you did, you know what happened? God changed his course because of what you did. In other words, you believed God, just like the Ninevites believed God. God was, listen, what do you think if those Ninevites had not have changed? What do you think would have happened? God doesn't lie. In 40 days, that place would have been flattened like a pancake. Amen? I mean, it would have been destroyed. We're talking like Sodom and Gomorrah. It would have been destroyed. God, why? God doesn't lie. He said you've got 40 days. And in 40 days, he would have certainly destroyed the city. But because they changed course and they believed God, God spared them. In other words, he changed his course. You're saved here today because the moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that gospel, you went from being condemned to having an everlasting life. Amen. God changed course. Now, he doesn't change. He doesn't change at all, but he changed course because he gives an opportunity of grace. Here's the thing. God gives the grace, but not everybody receives it. If you ever thought about your salvation and just how graceful God is to do that, I mean, I sit here and I read about the story here of Nineveh, and you think about how wicked Nineveh was. I mean, it was so wicked that God took time to send a prophet there and saying, if you do not change your ways, I'm going to flatten you like a pancake. How graceful is that? God didn't have to do that. God could have just destroyed him. He could have done that anytime he wanted to. He's God. He can do anything he wants. But what did he do? He sent a prophet to them and gave them an opportunity to change their ways. And they did. But may I tell you, it's not the changing of their ways. It was the believing God. They believed God. And I'll tell you something, folks. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God's given you the truth. God's given you truth. All you have to do is believe it. You can depend on God. You can depend on the purpose and the character of God. He doesn't change. The thing, like I said, the things he hated before, he hates now. The things that pleased him, it pleased him now. He doesn't change like people do. But he does change course. Now, like I said, people change all the time. When I was a kid, I used to be like Brother Jeremy. I used to hate onions and green peppers. Hated them. I did. I hate them. But as I started getting older and more wise, then all of a sudden I started to like onions and green peppers. Amen? Now, I change in the things I like. God doesn't change in the things he likes. He still hates sin, folks. Those seven things that God hates over there in the book of Proverbs, that hasn't changed. Hasn't changed at all. But God will change course with you based on what you do. Whenever he offers grace. Now, you're already, if you're not saved here tonight, you're already condemned according to Scripture. You need to believe the gospel in order for God to change course on that. If you are saved tonight, you have two choices. You can be like Jonah, and you can run from God. And if you do, you'll experience chastisement from God. Or you can return to God and experience the forgiveness of God. You see, God gives you an opportunity. God continues to give you an opportunity every day. He gave you an opportunity to be saved. And now that you're saved, you know what he does? He gives you an opportunity every time that you mess up. He gives you an opportunity to make things right. He did it with Jonah too. Even though he chastened Jonah, was the first thing that the Lord said after he come out of the whale. He said, Jonah, told him the second time, go over there and do what I told you to do. And Jonah went over and did it. God gave him a second chance. He gave him an opportunity. He did it to Nineveh. He says, you've got 40 days. They believe God, and God gave them an opportunity to believe. They believe God, and they were spared. Tonight, if you have messed up as a Christian, you know the right thing to do. You know the right thing to do. All you do is confess that sin and get right with God. God's given you an opportunity tonight to do that. Now, the question is are you going to believe God? Are you going to believe him? Are you going to change your ways? Are you going to confess those sins to the Lord? If you do, then he's faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. But if you choose not to, then I want you to think about the chastening that Jonah went through. Like I said before, the Lord's not going to let you just go out there and do anything you want to do and get away with it. No father would. There's a father inside this room that would let their kids go out and do anything they want to and say, well, just go ahead and have fun. You just go break the law if you want to. Just go ahead. No, wait a second. No father's going to do that. I tell you this, if my father told me to do something and I didn't do it, and I tell you right now, he wasn't going to let me just run off and do anything I wanted to do. I remember one time I looked at him and I bowed up when I was young one time and I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just go and I asked him if I'd do something, and he said, no, I don't want you to do it. And I thought to myself, well, I'll just do it anyway. And I kind of said it under my breath. And he goes, what'd you say? And that was my one time that I bowed up my chest, and I said, I'll just go and do it anyway. My dad just smiled at me and says, okay, go ahead. And when you come back, you won't be able to get in the house because I got the keys. And he told me if I went and did it, I wouldn't have a home to come back to. I'll tell you this, folks. Our Heavenly Father is not going to let you go and do anything you want to do. But he has given you the opportunity to make things right. So tonight, the invitation is this simple. Are you going to do the right thing and change your ways? Listen, God said, if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. God's told you that. So the question is this, do you believe him? Do you believe him tonight? And if you do, just confess your sins and make it right with God. If you've been harboring some sin, just confess it. Just believe God and confess it. And believe me, the chastening won't come. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, just believe God. Just believe that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe God. And believe that he died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And just call upon him. And it doesn't matter who you are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just believe God. That's what it's always been about, believing God. So tonight, are you going to believe him and do the right thing? Or are you going to not believe him and risk the judgment of God coming upon you? Let's stand.